cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
For in Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. So tonight we're going to be continuing in the prophetic series that Pastor started on Sunday. And that prophetic series was titled Arise and Contend. Arise and Contend. You are going to say to yourself this evening, I will arise and I will contend. Declare to yourself, it's my time to arise and to contend. The Bible says that for the Lord will have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her has come, yet the set time has come. So you are, this is your set time, and it is not just your set time because everything is falling in place, but because God has said it. He says, thou shalt arise, who is arising here? God is arising, God has arisen already, so that is why you have to arise. So the Bible says in Psalm 102 verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Who is Zion? You are Zion. You are Zion. For the time to favor her. It is your time to be favored. Yeah, the set time is come. Yeah, the set time is come. So you are going to arise and you are going to declare to yourself again, I arise and I begin to contend. I arise and I begin to contend for my destiny. I arise and I begin to contend for my inheritance. I arise and I begin to contend for every plan and purpose concerning my life. It is my time. It is my season. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. So this evening, very quickly, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. The Bible says that, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The emphasis tonight is on verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. It is not a carnal weapon. It is not carnal. It is not carnal. It is not, they are not bow and arrows. Bows and arrows can be, they can expire. They can be gone. They can be rendered useless. But our weapons, the weapon of our warfare, it is a spiritual weapon. The Bible says it is not carnal, but it is mighty through God. It is mighty through God. So you are the first thing you have to recognize tonight is as you are going to arise and you are going to contend, you are not contending with a physical weapon. You are contending with a spiritual weapon. And it is not carnal. The Bible says it is mighty through God. It is mighty through God. And it is used to do what? To pull down strongholds. Strongholds, strongholds, strongholds. And verse 5 began to help us to understand that those strongholds are first of all being built up in your imaginations. They are first of all being built up in your mind. So the Bible says you are first of all supposed to cast down those imaginations. Those evil thoughts that are built up in your mind. The Bible says, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, you are supposed to pull it down. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. And the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. So we are going to be looking at some of these weapons tonight. And we're going to be looking at how to use them to pull down some of these strongholds. That's why I said to you this evening, it is your time to arise and to contend. So very quickly, wherever there is an inheritance to be possessed, there will be contention. Are you listening to me this evening? Wherever there is an inheritance to be possessed, there will be contention. There will be contention. The earthly always mirrors the spiritual. It is not just enough to have ownership. You must take possession for you to take possession. Are you listening to me? It's not just for you to have ownership of something. You must take possession. And in taking possession, you have to arise and contend. When you ask an average property lawyer in Lagos or in Nigeria, They tell you that ownership is different from possession. So you buy a land and you tell your neighbor, you tell your friends that I own a land at Ibejuleki. It is not just enough to own that land. You must take possession. And how do you take possession? You contend. So some of those contentions, you go around, you face that particular property, you put a gate here, you put some people to guard the property. Why? Because there's an inheritance. And wherever there is an inheritance, there will be contention. There will be contention. So why is it necessary for us to contend? Why do we have to contend? Number one reason we need to contend is because there are giants in every man's promised land. Are you listening to me this evening? There are giants in every man's promised land. There are giants in every man's promised land. No matter what you are trying to do, so far it's a thing that is significant. There's a giant at the other side. So you need to contend. You need to contend. If you look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, the Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" God had already given them the land. But it was not just enough for them to be given the land. They had to go and contend for them to possess the land. They needed to not just go, they needed to contend and overcome before they possess the land. Verse 31 now says that, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'Part of these are imaginations going up through your mind, that you are not well able, you are not qualified.' But you need to keep those things still. You need to arise and begin to contend against those thoughts. You need to arise and begin to pull down those thoughts, because it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. God already told the Israelites that this land, I am giving it to you. But you are not just going to go there and possess it like that. You have to contend. I listen to me. You have to contend. You have to contend. Wherever there is an inheritance, there will be contention. There will be contention. There will be contention. And in order for you to possess, you need to arise and to contend. In verse 33, the Bible says that, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their own sight." The other 10 spies that had an evil report saw themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants, whereas God had already given them the land. So there will be giants in every man's promised land. And the more giants you contend and you conquer, the more inheritance you can acquire. The more giants you can face and conquer and be victorious over, the more inheritance you can acquire. So you are not supposed to run away from your giants. You are supposed to contend with them. You are supposed to defeat them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there are giants in every man's promised land. And if there's anything that is going to be worth fighting for, that is going to be worth your time, that is going to be an inheritance, there are giants there. That is why it is necessary for you to contend. It is necessary for you to contend. What is the second reason why you need to contend? What is the second reason why you need to contend? Because of the troubles that will come to confront you. Are you listening to me? Because of the troubles that will come to confront you. A lot of people, you know, you did not go and look for trouble, but you have troubles plenty. And I want to assure you that some of these things is not just the devil. Jesus already gave us an assurance. In John 16, verse 33, the Bible says that "these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Jesus already told us that in the world we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So why do you need to contend? Because of the troubles of life. Because of the things that are ready, the troubles of life that come to confront you. You don't need to be ready. You don't need to be prepared. You don't need to be expecting some of these things. It's not as if some of these things just tell you the time they are coming. They just show face.
And you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. So that when they come, the Bible says that when they shall ask of you, you shall be prepared. You shall have an answer to give. It's the same thing. Sometimes you actually don't even know what's happening. It's like everything is coming after you at the same time. I've come to tell you this evening, it's not a time to hold back. It's not a time to go into the defensive. But it's a time to attack. It's a time to attack. It's a time to attack. That's why we're looking at the series, Arise and Contend. We're in the 8th month of the year. And there are many prophecies that have gone ahead of you in this year. It is not just a time for you to say, they will come at their own privilege. They will come in its own time. It's a time for you to say, this is my time of favor. As Psalm 102 verse 13 was telling us, thou shalt arise. God has already arisen. You need to arise. God himself has already arisen on your behalf. God himself has already given you that promised land. God himself has already given you that inheritance. Now is your time to arise. Because the Bible says, thou shalt arise and have mercy. Have mercy. Mercy is already speaking on your behalf. It's also time for you to arise. It is your time to. It's your time of favor. It is your set time. But you must arise. Tell yourself, I must arise. I must arise. It is my time of favor and I must arise. It is my time of promotion. I must arise. I will arise. So it is not, this is not just a word for us to go back and put in the cupboard or put at the back of our notes. It's a word for us to go and begin to attack. Go and begin to attack. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when Jesus is telling you that you shall have many tribulations, but I have overcome, he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. He's trying to tell you that part of the reason he has overcome is because you already have him living inside of you. So greater. The greater one lives on the inside of me. The greater one lives on the inside of me. So you can face battles head on and confront them. You can face battles head on. You can face the challenges of life head on and begin to confront them. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you have to be louder than the things that are confronting you. You have to be louder than the noisome pestilence. Are you listening to me? When you are hearing pestilence and danger coming from afar, you have to be louder than it. If not, when those things come near you, they will defeat you. They will overcome you. You hear they are already sacking people in your office. You need to stand up and begin to speak against it. That it is not coming near me. The Bible says in Psalm 91 verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It is a noisome pestilence and you need to be louder than it. It is just making noise. It cannot come near you. But I tell you, you need to be louder than it. You need to be louder than it. Yes, the issues are noisy. The circumstances are loud. The battle is not in your favor. But I've come to tell you this evening, amplify your voice with the voice of the Lord. Amplify your voice with the voice of the Lord. Amplify your voice with the voice of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 29, the Bible says the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Amplify your voice. Amplify your voice. Amplify your voice. Don't just keep silent. Amplify your voice. The Bible tells us in that same Psalm 29, it says, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. So the voice of the Lord shaketh every opposition. So when you see oppositions coming to confront you, begin to confront those oppositions with the voice of the Lord. What is the voice of the Lord? The voice of the Lord is the word of God. I listen to me this evening. The voice of the Lord is the word of the Lord. And when you begin to speak back the word of God back into those situations, into those circumstances have nothing but to bow. They have nothing else but to bow. The Bible says the voice of the Lord is powerful. It is full of majesty. This is the lesser that bows to the greater. So far the oppositions cannot stand God, they will bow. So you need to amplify your voice with the voice of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 So the battle is not your favor. It's not your favor. The issues are very noisy. The ovation is very loud. But go back into your secret place and amplify your voice with the voice of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So another reason why you need to contend. You need to contend for you to remain relevant. Praise God. For you to remain relevant, you need to contend. There are some things that come to confront you because they want to know what you are made of. They want to know the stuff that you are made of. The Bible was talking, the Bible was saying in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Praise God. I hope I'm getting blessed this evening. No, let me go first from Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says this was the temptation of Jesus. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came to tempt Jesus to know what was inside Jesus. So when in verse 4, the Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So every time the Satan was confronting Jesus, Jesus was confronting him back with what was written. So sometimes when circumstances confront you, they confront you because they want to know the stuff you are made of. So that is why it is, the Bible says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So before the day of adversity comes, you need to build up strength. How do you build up strength? You build up strength through the study of God's word. You build up strength in prayers. So you need to. Sometimes for you to remain relevant, you need to contend. You have to be battle ready and battle bred. When David won the battle against Goliath, the women came and were singing that Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain 10,000. They equated the battle that David won against Goliath to 10,000 people. David only confronted Goliath and won Goliath. But the woman actually said that battle was a battle that was equated to 10,000. So David was now gaining a lot of relevance in Israel. Why? Because of that battle. So for some times, you actually need to contend for you to stay relevant. Jesus continues to reign. That's why his kingdom is forever. That's why Jesus' kingdom is relevant. Our kingdom is a kingdom that continually wins battle. Hallelujah. Our kingdom is a kingdom that continually wins battle. That's why the kingdom is relevant. So for you to stay relevant, you need to continue to contend. Praise God. Praise God. So this evening, we're also going to be looking very quickly, how do you contend? Number one, you contend in prayer. Hallelujah. The Bible was saying in James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone afflicted? What did he say? He didn't say he should complain. He didn't say he should go and tell his neighbor. He said, let him pray. Is anyone afflicted? The apostle himself answered that question back. If you are afflicted, it's not a time to complain. It's not a time to moan. It's not a time to murmur. It's a time for you to pray. Are you afflicted in your health? Are you afflicted in your job? Are you afflicted because the situations are not in your favor? The Bible says, do not complain. Do not mourn. Do not just go and pray. Pray. That's the first thing. Pray. Hallelujah. Then he now continued in verse 16. He says, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He does what? He availeth much. I like the Amplified Version, and I like to quote it regularly. The Amplified Version says, the heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. The Bible says, it maketh tremendous power available. So it is the prayer that makes tremendous power available. It says, dynamic in its working. When the devil is coming at you in one way, he's actually targeting various other things. So when you begin to pray, those things that the devil were targeting when he was bringing the attack, those things also begin to bow. Are you listening to me this evening? That's why the Bible says he make a tremendous power available. So those other things that were supposed to come down because of that attack, by the reason of that prayer, those other things begin to fall. Praise God. So your first place you need to contend in is contend in prayer. Contend in prayer. Contend in prayer. Contend in prayer. Are you listening to me this evening? Contend in prayer. Don't just go back and sit down. Contend in prayer. Contend in prayer. Don't just go back and watch the situation. You need to go back. You need to go back into the secret place and begin to fire your own arrows. Begin to fire back at the enemy's camp. In what? In prayer. In prayer. And we are going to contend this evening in prayer. Before we end this, before we end today's Bible study, we are going to contend in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you need to continually keep telling the devil, I see the hell. The devil comes to you and is trying to try you, and you need to go. Don't worry, I'm coming back. I'm coming for you. 12 a.m. Just wait. Don't go anywhere. 12 a.m. I will fire my arrows. And even for that time, you can be praying under your own breath, praying in tongues. You see, when the Bible says that, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is roaring like a lion, seeking from whom to devour. But it now says, but whom resist steadfast in the faith. So you need to continually keep resisting the devil. And one of the strongest ways for you to resist the devil is through prayer. True prayer. True prayer. True prayer. I listen to me this evening. True prayer. Resist the devil. Tell him to flee. The Bible says, flee. Tell the devil to flee. Tell the devil to flee. Just the same way Jesus told the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. A lot of you are entertaining the devil in your house. Your mother-in-law is not the problem. That's your colleague at work that you want to give a piece of your mind. She's not the problem. She's not the problem. Pastor is fond of saying something that if when you began to pray was when the arrow entered into your chest, you are late. You are late. So we must know how to pray and begin to activate things before they begin to happen. The Bible, in the Acts of Apostles, the Bible says that they are taking James and they are bearded James. The church was still trying to look at how to deliberate, how to do a few other things. But they say as soon as they took Peter, the church went to pray. Hallelujah. The church went to pray. As soon as they took Peter, the church went to pray. The church actually, they did not discuss again. They went to pray. They went to pray. So enough of your discussion, enough of your gossips, enough of your complaining, enough of your murmurings. Go into your secret place and pray. Go into your secret place and pray. I like Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says that the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. It was talking about when you pray, the God who sees in secret, he does what? He will reward you openly. So you need to keep on maintaining your territory. Maintain your territory. Maintain your territory in the place of prayer. Maintain your territory in the place of prayer. I have a story here of a small dog, in a particular environment. And there was also another big dog that was not too far from that environment. And at a particular time during the day, the small dog would crawl out and go and be confronting the big dog. And any time the small dog went to confront the big dog would beat the small dog, and the small dog would return back to his house. That went on for days. But there was a day, the small dog was going to the house, the big dog saw the small dog coming. As the big dog saw the small dog coming, the big dog began to run. Why? Because the Bible, the small dog had already wearied out the big dog through his continual coming. Some of you, you need to, don't get tired. Continue praying. Continue praying. I'm using this as an illustration for Luke 18, chapter 1. The Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. This is not the time to faint. This is the time to still keep pursuing. You will weary out the devil. Don't allow the devil wear you out. You will weary out the devil. You will weary out the devil by your continual coming. You will weary out the devil by your continual coming. Are you listening to me? Weary out the devil. Weary out the devil. Weary him out. Weary him out. Weary him out through your persistence. Weary him out. Weary him out. Don't back down. Weary out the devil. So I believe that word is for someone here tonight. You're already backing down. You're already giving up. But let me show you a word that I have for you this evening. If you look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says that, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So you are not of him that draws back. It is not time to draw back. You need to endure. You need to keep moving. You need to keep going. You need to keep telling the devil, this is not your territory. I will have my baby. I will be married. My family is coming back together. Weary out the devil by your continual coming. Weary out the devil. Weary out the devil. Don't allow the devil write the last chapter of your marriage. Don't allow the devil write the last chapter of your business. Don't allow the devil write the last chapter of your career. Weary out the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says your confidence, it has a great recompense of reward. I like that part in the Bible, in the book of Judges. It says, fainting yet pursuing. So he was talking about some of the men in the book of Judges. He said they were fainting, yet they were still pursuing. They were still pursuing. So that is for you this evening. You are fainting, but you still need to keep pursuing. Because the Bible says that the young lions do suffer hunger. It says the young men, their strength is usually being wearied. But the Bible says, but those who wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and they shall not faint. Are you listening to me? So when you wait upon the Lord, it is an automatic result. You can't faint. You can't faint. You can't faint. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. So secondly, we are going to be looking at in the series of, in the question of how to contend this evening, you contend through praise. Praise God. You contend through praise. We have talked about prayer. Another way to contend is through praise. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Joshua chapter 6. Praise God. I hope you are getting blessed this evening. If you are getting blessed, yeah, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 6. The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. So God had given Joshua the land of Jericho. But the Bible says in verse 1, Jericho was greatly shut up. Jericho was greatly shut up. I don't know that your blessing that is shut up. I don't know that your promotion that is tied down. But it says that Jericho was greatly shut up. And in this passage of scripture, he gave us the solution of what happened. Let's jump to verse 16. It says, and it came to pass at the seventh time where the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! For the Lord had given you the city. So in order to contend and to take possession, sometimes the weapon you need to do is praise. Praise God. Praise. 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 He said, shout, for the Lord had given you the city. Verse 20. He says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall, did what? Fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they did what? They took the city. Hallelujah. So sometimes when the battle is actually overwhelming, and you have done everything, switch to praise. I listen to me this evening. When the battle is overwhelming, and you have done every other thing, and it looks as if nothing is working, do what? Switch to praise. Switch to praise. Switch to what? Switch to praise. Let's look at another one. Part of why this particular principle is very, very valid. Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. I'm giving some of you the weapons and the answers to what you need to go back and do tonight. What you need to go back and begin to do. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. The Bible says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 22. He says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord did what? The Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were what? They were smitten. They were smitten. They were smitten. If you look at the remaining verses of this particular chapter, the Bible says that they began to destroy one another. The praise put them into confusion. You are confused about so many things. You are confused about what your enemy is doing. You are confused about what is happening in your place of war. You need to stop being confused. You need to put your adversary, you need to put your enemies into confusion. One of the keys to doing that is praise. 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 The Bible says they were smitten. The Lord set ambushment as they began to sing and to praise God. The Lord set ambushment and they began to destroy one another. They began to what? They began to destroy one another. This evening, I don't know who is facing confusion. I don't know who is facing disgrace. I don't know who is about to be put to shame in his place of work, in his family. I've come to tell you this evening, only if you will praise God, that confusion you are facing, that disgrace that is about to come upon you, it will turn upon the head of your enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When you pray, God steps in. Listen to me. When you pray, God steps in. But when you praise, God takes over. When you pray, God steps in. But when you praise, what happens? God takes over. I don't know how many of you have tried. You are tired of fighting the battle alone. You don't want to even be part of the battle again. All you want to do is for God to just take over. Praise God tonight. I listen to me. Praise God tonight. Praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Pastor had told us of what happened to his brother-in-law years back. He told us that his brother-in-law had written a test for a particular bank and the employment letter was not coming out. And his father-in-law called the brother-in-law and said, you know what? Tonight, we are going to have a praise vigil. And they had a praise vigil. And the next morning, he said, wear your clothes, we are going to the head office. And as soon as they got to the head office, they asked, he said, I am here for my son's employment letter. And the employment letter, which was refusing to come out. Why? True praise. True praise. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his children. The Lord inhabits the praise of his children. The Lord inhabits the praise of his children. So when you praise, God takes over. When you praise, God what? Takes over. He takes over. He takes over. He takes over. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Number 3 points here on how to contend is contending with your prophecies. Are you listening to me? Contending with your prophecies. Contending with what? You contend with your prophecies. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So you can war and you can contend with prophecies that have gone over your head. Praise God. You can contend with prophecies. You can contend with the prophecies that have gone over your life. Prophecies are not empty words. Somebody needs to know that this evening. Prophecies are not just empty words. They are not empty words. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 told us, verse 20. Let's look from verse 19. The Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. So you are supposed to take heed of the prophecies. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth into a dark place. So the prophecies come to shine upon darkness. Prophecies are light. They come to shine in the places where there are darkness. So you can wage war with your prophecies. It shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Verse 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, it now tells us something is secret in verse 21. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So they were not just empty words. The men of God, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So some of you need to go back into your journal. Some of you need to go back to the media department and ask them for so-so-so prophecy that came so-so-so time. Because why? Some of those prophecies have not come into fulfillment and you want to start to wage war with those prophecies. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when the Bible says in Daniel was speaking in the book of Daniel, he says, I understood by books. What did Daniel understood by books? He understood that the children of Israel were not supposed to be in the land of Babylon for more than 70 years. So as soon as the 70 years was drawing near, Daniel started to wage war in prayer. That is the importance of prophecy. It helps you know the time limit of whatever you are facing. And it helps you also know, it helps you begin to put pressure on that particular thing and begin to see it happen. So when you have a prophecy, it's not time to go and sit down. It's not time to go and sit down. It is not just that it will happen. You need to put pressure. You need to put pressure there. You need to apply pressure. So you have to wage war with the prophecies. You have to wage war with the prophecies. You have to what? You have to wage war with prophecies. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wage war with the prophecies. Wage war with the prophecies. Don't just go back. Some of you need to go back and look into your notes and look at the prophecies you wrote down. Some of you need to go back and ask your parents about the prophecies that were given concerning you at your birth. Because some of you, your name is actually a prophecy. Are you listening to me? Your name is actually a prophecy concerning you. So at a certain age, you see that you begin to exhibit some anointing that regards to this one has been set apart for a ministry, for the ministry, and you can't just understand, and you go back to your mother, and your mother begins to tell you that part of the names that your name was Boluaduro, I stand with God. So you need to go back and begin to wage war with some of these prophecies. They were not just empty words. The Bible says that they were moved. So these men were moved by the Holy Ghost and they spoke those prophecies. Praise God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus himself was a prophecy. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 that he shall be called Jesus. Because why? He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. And that was the prophecy of what Jesus came to do. So his name was actually prophetic. So stop looking at your name. We are not the Oyibo people that can name themselves stone, fish, wood. We name ourselves according to the prophecy that we want to see be realized in our life or in the life of our children. So you need to go back and begin to wage prophecies. You need to go back and begin to wage war with the prophecies over your life. Your name can be an Oluwapo, but you do not receive mercy. But you need to go back and say, my name is Anuoluapo. It is my time for mercy. I receive mercy today. I receive mercy this hour. wealth comes into my house. Our pastor, Igotome, that's the meaning of his name. Wealth comes to me. Wealth comes to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So another point in how to contend for prophecy is the word of God. Are you listening to me this evening? The word of God. The word of God is also another way you contend. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is what? It is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise God. The word of God is quick and powerful. It is a tool. It is a weapon. It is a machinery. So this is HB 412. This is not AK-47. This is HB 412. This is a weapon. This one, it says, it is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So I don't know any other weapon that can beat the word of God. Because it says it is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce through the bones and the marrow. It says it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it is the proceeding word that brings ultimate victory. The Bible was talking in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So it is the proceeding word. It is the proceeding word. It is the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The Rhema word. That is the word that brings you victory. Victory in your finances. Victory in your health. Victory for your family. Victory for your marriage. You want that victory? Go for the word of God. It is the word of God that brings lasting victory. The Bible says he has honored his word more than his name. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, it says that where the word of the king is, there is what? There is power. So when you begin to speak the word of the king, the word of the king is the Bible, the word of God. When you begin to speak that word, power begins to flow. Power begins to flow. So you can knock, it's not only prayer that makes tremendous power available. Confession of God's word is power, is power, is power. Is power. The word of God releases power. So the Bible says that in Luke chapter 5 verse 17, as Jesus began to teach and to preach, the power of God was present to heal. Jesus was teaching and preaching, the power of God was present to heal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as I am preaching tonight, as I am teaching the word of God tonight, the obstacles that are standing in front of you are giving way this evening. The obstacles that are standing in front of your family, that are standing in front of your marriage, it is giving way this evening. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the word of God is a tool you use to contend. It's a weapon that you use to contend. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. And you can contend with it. You can contend with it. Don't let the devil fool you that the words are empty words. You have been speaking it several times. Nothing is happening. The word of God is a tool. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. You can get victory against the adversary with the weapon of the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For their what? For their life to those that find it, and their health to all their flesh. Praise God. So the word of God is life. Is life. You can declare the word of God concerning a situation that is looking dead. When Ezekiel was in the midst of dry bones, the Bible, and he was asking that, Lord, what do I do? God said, prophesy unto the dry bones. Prophesy unto the dry bones. Prophesy unto the dry bones. What do you prophesy? You prophesy the word of God. Hallelujah. Do you have situations that look dry, that looks impossible? Begin to confess God's word to it. Begin to what? Begin to prophesy God's word unto those situations. Don't just look back. Prophesy God's word. Prophesy God's word. Prophesy God's word. Prophesy God's word. Confess the word of God to that situation and watch it begin to move. Watch his word. Watch it begin to move. Watch it begin to turn. Hallelujah. So the word of God is what? It is quick and powerful. It is quick and powerful. You can prophesy the word of God to that situation and it begins to move. You can prophesy the word of God to your health and your health begins to come back. Hallelujah. Praise God. So tonight, it is your time to arise and to contend. It is your what? It is your time to arise and to what? And to contend. And tonight you are going to be ending this Bible study in a prayer session. I will go back to the scripture that I started with. In Psalm 102 verse 13, the Bible says that thou shalt arise and do what? And have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So you are going to pray this evening and begin to declare, Father, arise and have mercy on me. Hey, let my time of favor come. Hey, let my time, I step into my season of favor. Lord, arise, I arise, I arise, I arise, I arise and step into my season of favor. Arise, oh God, arise and step into my set time of favor. Arise, oh God.